Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is going to be a Friday Q&A, so most of these questions that actually came in via my Facebook page, Brian Keane Fitness. I normally take them from Snapchat, BrianK019, but I said I'd switch it up today and take a couple of them from Facebook. So if you're not following me on Facebook, check out my page, Brian Keane Fitness, and my Snapchat where I normally get all the questions for the podcast is BrianK019. So first question from Shane Murphy, what's the best supplement you recommend for bulking up muscle? Okay, so the number one thing for adding muscle is obviously getting your nutrition on point and getting enough calories in and getting enough amino acids to support growth if you're following a hypertrophy program or a program that's built and designed around building muscle. So the number one thing before you take any supplements is getting your nutrition on point, making sure that you're eating enough calories, eating enough real food, and getting those amino acids to repair the fibers that you're tearing down in your workouts, assuming that you've based your training program around tearing fibers so that you're able to bulk up muscle. So when you've covered your bases on that, and well, regardless of what nutrition strategy you're following, whether you're doing IFYM or doing keto diet or doing meal spacings or clean eating or whatever it is, as long as you're eating enough calories and enough amino acids to support growth, that's number one. After that, then there are a couple of supplements that are massively going to support the majority of people. Number one is going to be a good protein supplement. So it doesn't matter where or any other supplement that you take, if you're not getting enough amino acids to support the repair from the tears of the fibers that you're doing in your workout, you're not going to build muscle as efficiently as if you're getting those amino acids. So hedging your bets with a good quality whey protein or rice protein, one with all the essential amino acids, is going to support you massively. Brand doesn't matter as much. I normally find the best way to buy a whey protein or rice protein or whatever version of it you're using is find one that works well, that digests well for you, that you enjoy the taste of, and that fits into your budget. There's loads of great brands out there, loads of great companies that do really good quality, high quality protein powders. So find the one that fits into your budget, that digests well for you, that doesn't bloat you, doesn't swell your stomach, and one that you enjoy the taste of. We've come a long way in the last 10, 15 years on protein supplements. I remember when I was 18, 19, trying out protein supplements and they tasted like fucking shit. Like, but now there's good taste in as most milkshakes. So shop around, have a play around. My advice to people when you're finding a protein is try and get some samples from different brands, and then the one that sits and digests well with you, then buy a full tub of it, and you normally save yourself a bit of money that way too. So after you've covered your bases on protein, and then how you use it, it's going to be dependent on your plan, of course. Some will use it post-workout to flood your muscle with amino acids. Some will use it pre-workout so that you've got amino acids in your system while you're training. Other people use it as a stopgauge to bump up the protein during the day. So I like to use it in things like protein pancakes, in my smoothies, to bump up my protein content during the day. But it's very much dependent on your specific goals and how you're going to use it best for you. But what I would advise is get a good quality one and make sure that's number one that you add to your supplement list. After that then is probably going to be creatine. There's a couple of other ones that I like. Branched-chain amino acids will work amazingly well. Depends on the training program you're following also. But you will normally hedge your bets with a good quality whey protein for your branched-chain amino acids. I tend to supplement them in as well. For anyone that's coming through my top 50 program, for example, there's a massive focus on tearing fibers through working for tension and working through the ranges of motion that tear the most fibers. So if you're eating a calorie surplus, you can build more muscle. Or if you're eating a calorie deficit, you can elevate your metabolism to burn more fat. So I tend to add branched chain amino acids back in on top of whey protein for the people that are using supplements. But it's very much dependent on the program you're following. Some people don't need to. Some people will get it from food. But other people will get the benefit from adding their BCAAs back in. But if you're muscle building and bulking up is your primary goal, I would probably use your money to get yourself a good quality creatine, because creatine is probably, after caffeine, the most scientifically backed supplement on the planet in terms of actual physiological response and you're helping your body's ability to build muscle. What creatine does is it pulls water underneath the muscle, so you're able to push more weight you're able to do more reps with the normal weight you use, or you're able to increase the weight you're actually using for the same amount of reps. So if you're working for 8 to 10 reps, say for 8 reps and you're using 15 kilos on a chest press, once you saturate your cell with creatine, you might be able to go up to 16 kilos, 17 kilos, 18 kilos for the same 8 reps. And that what happens there then is you're tearing more fibers, you're working under hypertrophy load, and that can allow you to build more muscle, assuming you're getting your calories and feeding your body with enough amino acids to support that growth. So adding in creatine is probably the next one. Personally, I'm using from Natural Stacks, I use the creatine that's got fenugreek and pink Himalayan salt. Because it's a creatine monohydrate, you need a transporter, which basically means that it needs something to help it drive it fully into the muscle. So the Natural Stacks one that I'm using at the minute has fenugreek and pink Himalayan salt, which can work as a transporter. Some people will buy a monohydrate and add some glucose, and you can do that. You get glucose for 3-4 euro in any chemist or pharmacy, and you can add that. Personally, I don't enjoy doing that because of the elevation in blood sugar that glucose gives. I find that for the rest of the day, I'm trying to catch up and balance out my blood sugar. So I don't personally like adding glucose, but it works very well for some people. Or alternatively, if I'm not using the Natural Stacks one, I'll just use a creatine ethyl ester, and I generally get it from wherever the cheapest company is doing it. Normally, things like your freeborn amino acids and your creatines, you're paying for brand largely. So I would go with the one that works out at the best value. Where I would always spend money on is a good probiotic, a good omega-3, and probably a good quality protein, because the brand tends to represent quality in terms of those supplements. But in terms of free form amino acids, such as branched chain amino acids, glutamine or creatine, which is a combination of amino acids, I tend to just opt for the cheapest one because you're largely paying for brand otherwise. So I would add in creatine ethyl ester. The only downside of that is it absolutely tastes horrible. It's one of those that I take out a small shot of my wadi with stevia or a small bit of stevia sweetener just to help it go down, because it tastes horrible. But it's about the same price as monohydrate. You need to use less. You don't need a transporter and you don't need to load it. So you can take it straight away and it'll start pulling water underneath the cell from nearly the first day you start taking it. Creatine monohydrate, it normally takes about 7 to 10 days until you saturate the cell, till you start to feel the effects of it. That's why you have a creatine load, where you load the creatine for, you know, 10 to 20 grams for 7 to 10 days, and then you do a maintenance dose of 5 to 10 grams depending on your body weight, and that normally allows you to top up your creatine levels. So they're probably the two supplements that I would advise most. There's an honorary mention for beta-alanine and branched chain amino acids, and people that are coming through my top 50 program, I will change and tweak supplements depending on each person's goal. But for the majority of people listening, if bulking up is your main goal, and making sure you're hedging your bets with a good quality protein, and then adding in creatine is going to support you massively. Okay, next question from Georgina Larkin. Should I cut out carbs to lose weight? Okay, this is one that really, really varies person to person, because some people are going to tolerate carbs and digest carbs much better than others. So it is very, very context dependent on each person. Anyone that comes through my top 50 program, we have a set nutritional plan, and then I build it along with people and tweak it and go through it so that people that digest carbs better will have a higher carb intake. People that digest fats better will have a higher fat intake. And then we play around with the macros and the timings to make it work in each person's schedule. Myself and Emma, who's my head coach, will build that with people. So it is very, very context dependent. But in terms of the majority of people listening, I'm going to try and answer it that I can provide the most value to you guys. So if you cut your carbohydrates, you're going to lose weight pretty quickly. But it may not be body fat. There's a big difference between body fat and weight. Weight is actual weight on a scale. So if you put, you know, 10 kilos of lean muscle on a scale and you put 10 kilos of pure fat on a scale, that's still 10 kilos. That's weight. Whereas body fat is the actual fat on your body. So whether you're trying to lose weight, this is why I tell people not to obsess on the scales. Unless you're very, very overweight or obese to begin with, the scale is probably not going to be your best measurement in terms of how to gauge your progress. Body fat is going to be a better indicator. And that's why I use things like pictures, use your clothes, your jeans, your dress sizes, your shirts. All of these things tend to be a better gauge of your progress than the actual scale. For example, if you pull out your carbohydrates, because of carbohydrates' ability to pull water into the body, you're going to instantly drop weight if you drop your carbohydrates really, really low. But that doesn't necessarily mean you've dropped body fat. You may feel leaner because you have a bit of a diuretic effect from pulling out the carbohydrates, but you may not be losing body fat as opposed to weight. The thing is with that is it's not sustainable long term, because I've found from working with probably 1,000 people over the last year, the people that have came through my programs, the people that have came in through very, 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 very low carb diets found that they rebounded really badly because they got either really bad cravings or their energy levels completely sapped and they started reaching for glucosey foods and then their body fat climbed and they rebounded out because their carbohydrates were too low. That being said, there's some people that will work amazingly well dropping the carbohydrates low and keeping it low consistently. That's where it comes back to your digestion on carbohydrates and your digestion on fats. I know, for example, if I drop my carbohydrates to zero or zero to 50 grams, as long as my fats stay high, I feel incredible. My brain function is great. My energy is great. I drop body fat as long as my calories are on point. And my body responds really well. But as soon as I pull fats and keep my carbs too high, I start to feel watery. I get a bit bloated. My brain doesn't work as well. So it just doesn't digest as well for me as somebody who's very, very tolerant to carbohydrates. So it's a case of finding what works best for you and then building your plan around it. The number one thing for losing weight or losing body fat is getting your nutrition on point, that you're in a calorie deficit or that you're getting a deficit from training and then you're spacing your meals. These are personal preference, spacing your meals to keep your blood sugar levels stable so that you've got good energy through the day, that you're able to stay on track with your nutrition because you're not craving things. But the number one thing is going to be getting your calories on point and then timing your macros around it. I've had people come through my program that have had 3 to 5 to 600 grams of carbs and have lost body fat. I have people that came through the program that have had 0 to 50 grams of carbs and have lost body fat. It's very much down to how your body digests them, how well you work off them, and then building that into your nutritional plan. So my advice would be, for anyone that's not sure whether they run better off carbohydrates or fats, is to experiment for 2-3 days. What I would do is try dropping your carbs back to 50 grams or even less if you need to, and see how you feel. Keep your fats high and see and make sure it's balanced within your macros, which is obviously going to be individual to each person, but play that your fats, that they don't drop as well, and see how you feel. If you find that when you drop to 0 to 50 grams of carbohydrates and your fats are high and you feel incredible, you probably tolerate fats better than carbohydrates. On the flip side, if you find that your energy is just completely zapped and you feel terrible, you probably tolerate carbs better and you need to have them higher in order to have a long-term sustainable plan in terms of dropping body fat and dropping weight over the long term. So that would be my advice, would be experiment with that for probably 3 to 4 days and you'll get a pretty good gauge. And then what I would do is start building your nutritional plan around that. You know that you should go higher fat or you should go higher carbohydrate. And what happens then is you make yourself a little bit more insulin sensitive. So even if you end up dropping your carbohydrates, when you add them back in, you actually find that they absorb better. And so it's not a case of drop carbs and you will lose weight, because if you drop carbohydrates and you're in a calorie deficit, you will lose weight because you'll have a little bit of a diuretic effect from the water. But in terms of long-term sustainability and fat loss, it's going to be down to your actual nutritional plan and the way you build fats and carbohydrates and protein around your actual nutrition and all the foods that you're eating. Okay, next question from Dave Matthews. Hey Brian, on a bulk or a cut, should I be cycling the rep ranges I use? For example, going high 1 week, low reps another week, medium reps another week. If bulking and cutting, so what I generally find works best for people, and this is down to years of what I've done and what I do when I work with people, is your bulk and cut is largely going to be determined by your nutrition. The easiest way, and this, there's a lot of other physiological and hormonal things that come into play, but the easiest way to gauge whether you're in a cut or a bulk is if you're eating a calorie surplus. So if your calorie maintenance are 2000 calories and you're eating more than that, you're technically in a bulk because you're in a calorie surplus. If you're in eating below 2000 calories, you're in a cut because you're in a calorie deficit. That obviously, as I said, there's loads of things that come into play. Your actual training output, your lifestyle, your hormones, all of these things will come into play with that. But to give you a very kind of basic understanding, that's how a bulk and a cut works. So if you're bulking and cutting, it's your nutrition that's going to be number one that you end up playing around with. You'll end up bumping up your fats or bumping up your carbohydrates or bumping up your calories in general on a bulk, and you'll end up cutting them on a cut. What I find works best, and has worked best for me for years and with a lot of people I work with, again, everyone is different and there'll always be a black swan and somebody that works completely different in terms of what works for them. And your job for whoever the trainer or whoever you're working with is to find what works for you and then make it work and double down on it and make it adapt. But what I found works for the majority, probably 99% of people, is if body composition is your main goal and you're trying to build muscle or you're trying to lose body fat, I would normally keep things in the same rep ranges, or else I would play around with the systems. I wouldn't drop to 1 to 3 reps or 4 to 5 reps, because that's your strength parameters, unless you're somebody who's obviously trying to focus on strength as well. Again, also, if you go way too high on reps, assuming you're not keeping tension on the muscle, you're going to go largely into your endurance rep range. That being said, some people will find that that higher rep range, for example, I know when I go high reps on my back or my legs, I will respond in a hypertrophy sense and the muscle will get bigger. But I know that that doesn't work for a large proportion of people. It's very much down to people with shorter muscle fibers. People with shorter body types tend to respond better with that rep range, I've found. And people that are taller tend to respond better within the 8 to 10. But again, it very much varies. Every person varies person to person. So what I would advise you doing is building your hypertrophy, if body composition is your goal, building your 8 to 10 rep ranges and then changing things around that, changing up the angles of the movement. So if you're doing incline presses, you'll switch to a flat. If you're doing squats, you might switch to a hack squat. You know, if you're doing walking lunges, you'll switch to static lunges. Change up the angles and the movements that you're doing, or change up the system. So you add in drop sets, or you add in supersets, or you add in tri-sets or giant sets. I normally find that if body composition is the goal, staying within those parameters that tear the most fibers and then using your nutrition to decide whether you're bulking or cutting is normally the most optimal. If you're eating enough calories and you're tearing all those fibers, you're going to build muscle. If you're tearing all those fibers and you're eating a calorie deficit, the fibers you've torn is going to elevate your metabolism, so you're going to burn more calories and burn more body fat. So I would time your nutrition around whether you're bulking or cutting, and then I would just play with your workouts that you're doing. I wouldn't be dropping my reps down to the strength parameters unless that's one of your primary goals. You know, for example, people that are like, well, I want body composition, but I also want to be much stronger, there's an argument for changing those parameters and building some strength in. But if you don't care about strength and you just care about the way you look, that you want to fit nicer into a dress, or you want to fit nicer in, look better on the, with abs on the beach, I would stay within those hypertrophy parameters and then adjust your nutrition around it. Next question from Patrick Monahan. Should I be using protein during training even if I want to drop weight? Okay, this is a question I get asked pretty regularly on my Snapchat. So BrianK019, definitely follow me on there. I try and open it up as often as I can for questions back and forth. And I get nearly all the questions normally come in from my Snapchat for the podcast. But using protein if you're trying to lose body fat or lose weight. I'm going to give this one a short and a long answer. The short answer is, yes, you should probably use it. And the long answer is, it's going to be context dependent. The number one thing that's going to have the most effect is getting into a calorie deficit, getting your nutrition on point, and all the things that I've mentioned on this episode and in other episodes. However, using a protein powder or using a protein supplement, if you're trying to lose weight or lose body fat, assuming you have one that you can digest well, the thing is with whey protein, particularly whey protein, because of the lactose in it, people that have a little bit of lactose intolerance are going to struggle to get that, to get the digestion. I suffered so long with irritable bowel, leaky gut, and stomach problems that I really struggled to get protein powders that worked for me. After a while, I learned that I had to get one that had a lactase enzyme that helped break down the lactose. Also, some hydrolyzed whey protein normally breaks out a lot of the lactose, so that can help with digestion as well. But assuming you have a protein that you can digest well, that should, assuming you have your calories and your macros and everything calculated and you're following a training program that's in alignment with losing body fat, it should actually speed up your body's ability to lose body fat. And here's how. What happens when you tear fibers in a workout? Your fibers tear down, and when you repair them with protein or amino acids, in the case of whey protein or a vegan or a rice protein, where you're flooding your amino acids after you train, you're going to speed up your recovery and repair after workouts, which is going to keep your metabolism elevated, which means you're going to burn more calories while you're resting. So if you're using a protein powder, particularly post-workout for someone trying to lose body fat, you're going to flood your body with amino acids directly after you train, which will enhance your recovery, which means that you'll be not only elevating your metabolism, but you'll be repairing better, that you'll be able to get back into the gym the next day or back training the next day, or you'll be fully recovered for your next workout or as fully recovered as you possibly can be, depending on the program you're following. That being said, protein is also very, very metabolic in terms of, there's been studies done on the metabolic thermal effect of food and how certain foods can speed up your body's metabolism. Protein in particular is one of those foods. Protein and carbohydrates have the same calories per gram. They're both 4 kilocalories per gram. But carbohydrates are broken down much more easily by your body. It's what their only job of carbohydrates effectively is to give your body energy. Where protein, it takes your body more effort to actually break down a gram of protein. So you get a little bit of a thermal effect to food where your metabolism has to rise in order to break down a gram of protein. That being said, whey protein is normally very, very rapidly absorbed, but some of the principles still hold true. So my advice would be that assuming you have everything on point with your nutrition, you have your calories calculated, you're in a deficit, you're doing a training program that's based around losing weight or losing body fat, that you're elevating your metabolism through weight training, you're doing low intensity, steady state cardio, or my preference, high intensity interval training where you tend to get a better bang for your buck for less time, and you have everything around your training based correctly, then adding in a protein powder, particularly post-workout in your case, is probably going to support you losing weight and support you losing body fat. You can also use it in my favorite way, as I mentioned earlier, as a stopgate for where you need to bump up protein during the day. So I tend to like adding it to food, adding it to oats, adding it to protein pancakes, adding it to smoothies. That's another way to bring up your protein level for the day, which can also support you long term in losing body fat. And it means it's something that you can sustain over a long period of time, and you're not just using it like a fat burner, for example, that you can only use for a couple of weeks before your body and receptors blow out and you can't use it anymore. You have a long term, if you get a protein powder that works well for you, there's so many flexible ways that you can use it in order to support you losing weight and losing body fat. So I hope you guys got loads of value from this episode. A massive thank you again for downloading. The numbers have just been staggering over this last month. So a massive thank you again. For more information on me, you can head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com. You can find out all about my Top 50 program or my GA Lean Body programs. All the information is on there. My Snapchat, BrianK019. Definitely recommend following me on there. If you don't follow me on any other platform, follow me on Snapchat. It's my most active one at the minute. And my Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube is all Brian Keen Fitness. A massive thank you to Cullen at Voxonic, who puts together and edits all my podcasts. Thanks for downloading. Catch you guys soon.